Real quickly, before we get started with our scripture reading, you may have noticed it was very easy to walk into the church today. And Bill Pritchard, thank you for coming out yesterday. And he probably doesn't like me calling him out like this. But Bill, thank you for scraping yesterday and for making it easy for us to get in the building today. Sure. You know, you'd be getting a round of applause today, did you? I'd like to invite you to turn to today's focus passage, which is Isaiah chapter 44, verses 6 through 8, and we'll also read verses 24 through 28 if you'd like to follow along in your own Bible or device, or you can take a pew Bible from in front of you, or you can simply listen as I read these words from Isaiah chapter 44. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb, I am the Lord who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who by myself spread out the earth, who frustrates the omens of liars and makes fools of diviners, who turns back the wise and makes their knowledge foolish, who confirms the word of his servant and fulfills the prediction of his messengers, who says of Jerusalem, it shall be inhabited, and of the cities of Judah, they shall be rebuilt, and I will raise up their ruins. Who says to the deep, be dry, I will dry up your rivers. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall carry out all my purpose. And who says of Jerusalem, it shall be rebuilt, and of the temple, your foundation shall be laid. I know I'm a couple of seasons short, but I found an interesting article that talked about the most popular Halloween costumes of about the past 20 or 30 years. So I was looking down those costumes. It was really taking me down, kind of down a stroll from memory lane for the past 20 or 30 years or so. And can you guess the commonality of most of those costumes? In other words, for the most popular costume every year, do you know what the general category was for that costume? On the right track, it was a superhero of some kind. Some kind of superhero, some kind of mighty figure was the most popular costume for both boys and girls, and men and women, who also dress up. Every year, there were a few exceptions, such as in 2004, SpongeBob SquarePants was the most popular. In 2011, Snooki was the most popular. Don't ask. In 2015, Left Shark was most popular, which the shark from the Super Bowl in 2015 became one of the most popular outfits. But almost every year, there was a mighty person who was the most popular Halloween costume. So, of course, down the list, you could read the Ninja Turtles, Power Rangers, Buzz Lightyear, Batman, Catwoman, Spider-Man, Charlie's Angels, the year that the movie was remade and came back out. There was also, of course, other figures, such as Harry Potter and Hermione Granger, Captain Jack Sparrow, Rapunzel, Merida, and Elsa. All of these figures were mighty in some way. They were mighty for some reason. Maggie, of course, was Elsa this past year. And, of course, she loves princesses, but Elsa's also an intriguing figure because she's a powerful figure. She knows how to shoot ice out of herself. I guess that's the eloquent way to put it. I remember when I was young, I dressed as Superman along with me and my twin brother when we went out for Halloween. And I'm going to invoke preacher's privilege here and say that Maggie had an activity the other day in daycare where she was asked to draw, if she were a superhero, what would her powers be? And you would not guess in a million years what they would be, so here they are. She said if someone wanted to be tickled, she would shoot butterflies out from herself to tickle everybody. That's one of the coolest superheroes I think I've ever heard. The commonalities in these figures, though, you know what they are, of course. Most of them are some sort of a physical super strength. the ability to be lightning fast or super quick, the ability to lift really heavy objects, the ability just to be very physically strong or imposing, maybe athletic. There were also superior skills, for instance, superior fighting skills for a lot of them, skills with a particular weapon or gadget, or perhaps even the skill is ruling, or the skill is somehow having control over people, or the ability to influence a large number of people. Some of those powers are considered in these stories to be some sort of a supernatural or unnatural power, like casting spells, or once again, summoning ice, or something along those lines. Or, you know, shooting butterflies out from yourself to tickle someone, if that's what your preferred superpower is. I don't think it's any small coincidence that with children, and I also think that with adults, during Halloween and perhaps other times, we like to identify and find commonality with superhuman type figures, don't we? We like to share our identity and maybe even somehow put our identity into these superhuman figures. And so, like kids, even wearing a costume, it makes you feel empowered. You can see the pride, for instance, when we had Trunk or Treat out here back in October, you could see the pride in the kids' faces when they were dressed as their favorite superhero because they felt some sense of close identity with this superhero. If only they looked somewhat like the superhero because they wore the same costume, they felt empowered. They felt that they somehow were able to share in this might of the superhero. And so we are drawn towards someone or something that is mighty or imposing or has some sort of power. Even adults, we find our mighty heroes as well. For instance, our heroes might be our favorite author or a favorite, some sort of an icon. Maybe it's someone who has served in public office. Maybe it's an actor or actress or musician. Perhaps it's a motivational speaker or someone who has given themselves towards a cause in the right kind of way and who is changing their community or their world. We like to identify with that person, and we like to even become inspired by them and in many ways do what they do in our own lives. And I think part of that reason is because at times we feel insufficient ourselves to live life to the fullest around us or to be able to control or to influence in a way that we would like. I think sometimes we feel incapable of doing everything on our own. You see, the superheroes, especially the ones that we look at in these kids' comic books and stories and movies, they can take on the strength and the role of a lot of people and what a lot of us cannot do. And I think we want to be or to feel like or to have some sense that we have some kind of superhuman ability because our health fails us sometimes. And so we would like to have immortality, or we would like to have super strength, or we would like to be bulletproof because then the ails of the world can't touch us. At times, our careers take wrong turns. We end up in places we don't like to go, and so we like to be someone who can play mind tricks or have some kind of influence over someone else, because then we wouldn't have to worry about that. Our relationships break down. Our finances are out of control, and so we want to take on some sort of superhuman capability so that we can avoid or push away or fight off the ills of the world that inevitably come our way. But because we are not superhuman, because we are human and we have our limitations and we can't do everything, we need someone mighty to intervene for us. And not just intervene, but give us meaning and purpose. In today's Old Testament reading, Isaiah gives us a description of a mighty God. A description of a mighty God given to the people of the Old Testament who were facing some of their most difficult times and challenges, who were facing exile, who could not live up to the expectations that God had given them through the law. They were experiencing the fullness of what it means to fall short as a human being. And yet Isaiah gives comfort and a description of a mighty God who could step in and intervene for them and give them purpose, because their identity is not in their broken selves or broken community, but in the mighty God they serve. The qualities of God in this particular passage are actually diverse. It doesn't simply leave it at mighty God. We read of qualities of God in this Isaiah passage, and we learn that God is not passive. God is not just a nice guy sitting up in a throne who allows evil to prevail. God is powerful, and God is confident in his power. God asks, ultimately in this passage, thus says the Lord, who is like me? Let them come forward, is ultimately what God is saying. Because there are no other gods, and even the principalities and powers of the world do not match up to God's power. So God shows his confidence in this passage. He says, there is no other rock, I know not one. And so God exerts and tells Israel that he is a mighty God, a powerful God. But the power does not stop with some kind of brute force. God also gives them comfort and assurance. God also says, do not fear. Do not be afraid. You can imagine that the people of Israel were perhaps afraid at this time, knowing the judgment or the exile that they may be facing. God says, take comfort in me. Do not be afraid. And then, of course, later on in the passage, God talks about his ability to restore our world and to restore our communities. He says, it shall be rebuilt. He says this of Jerusalem. He says of your temple, your foundation will be laid. This would have meant something significant to a people who had seen their city destroyed. This would have meant something to a people whose temple had been knocked over and destroyed down to its foundations, to have a God who can say, I can rebuild that. The powers of the world that have come in here and destroyed your way of life and destroyed your faith, I can rebuild. Ultimately, what we learn here also is that the Messiah, the one who would come from David, in the line of David, would show us the fullness of these qualities as well. During this season of Advent, we join with the prophets in ancient Israel in anticipating the coming of a Messiah who would bring salvation to the world, and not just salvation, but a salvation that goes beyond our wildest imaginations. Sometimes we forget that when Jesus came to earth, he surprised people. Not just with his coming, the people were anticipating that, but the way that he came, the things that he taught, the fact that he went to the cross, the fact that he rose again, all of these things were surprising to his followers. Perhaps the signs were there in the scriptures, perhaps the prophecies foretold of a Savior who would do these things, but the people were still surprised. And so we have a Jesus who comes to us, who is also mighty. In this season of Advent, we look forward to the coming of the Christ child in the manger, and perhaps the last thing we think of is a mighty God. The Christmas story, as we talked about last Wednesday, we oftentimes leave at as a lullaby. The baby Jesus in the manger, surrounded by Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, the donkeys, the sheep. What a beautiful lullaby. The God of the universe comes in Jesus Christ, and it is a mighty God. It gives us and empowers us as a people because someone has stepped in and interceded for us and brings us salvation. So yes, it is a wonderful lullaby that you may read to your kids or to your grandkids, and we certainly share with ours, but Do not forget the fact that in the baby Jesus comes the mighty God that is spoken of in the book of Isaiah. This Messiah would be a mighty presence to his people. The Messiah would give us purpose and an ability to testify to this power. Church, we are the mighty presence of Christ. In many ways, as we gather here together, though we are incapable sometimes as individuals to take on all of life's demands, we can also say that as a church, as the body of Christ, we are here representing the mighty God that has come to save us. And so, church, we are called to do some mighty things in our community. Even as fallen, sinful vessels sit here in this place today, we can simultaneously say that together, because of God's Spirit who is indwelled in this congregation, we can be the presence of a mighty God to a world that is hurting. We can speak truth to power and instill justice when the principalities and powers of the world tread on the least of these among us. And in the same way, we can offer quiet assurance and comfort that Christ is here with us and Christ offers salvation and mercy and comfort to all. And so we also take part in God's mission of reconciliation. In the same way in Isaiah, when God says, "I will restore you, Jerusalem, I will rebuild," or "I will build your foundations," we as a church say to the world, in Christ, in this community of faith, as a disciple of Christ, you can rebuild the foundations of your life that have been broken and hurt by the principalities and powers of this world. And so in many ways, folks, when the world is looking for a superhero or a mighty figure to intervene, I don't care how advanced our technology becomes, they're not going to find an Iron Man. They're not going to find a Captain America or a Wonder Woman or a Superman or a Catwoman or even a superhero that sprays butterflies out of her hands. They will find Jesus in the presence of the community of faith. They will find the mighty God in our presence. And so, church, we have work to do. We must act as God's vessels to intervene and to offer God's salvation to those who are hurting in this world. To say, we are fallen as well, but because of Christ, we have victory, and we go forth in this world proclaiming this good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of this mighty King who rules in our hearts and rules the world as well. And we do so anticipating the second coming of Christ when all things will be reconciled and made new. That is what we are pointing to as a church. And so, church, none of you as individuals are superheroes or mighty figures. Y'all are awesome, by the way. You do some awesome things on your own as individual servants of Christ. You do some wonderful things, but you are no superhero. Together, Alan threw up his hands like, come on. Together, as the presence of Christ, we are mighty because it is Jesus who lives in us. We can do great things because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's remember that as we go forth today and anticipate a year where we share with joy and with boldness the good news and saving power of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the words from Isaiah that remind us that you are mighty and that you are here to save, that you are here to rebuild the broken foundations of our lives and of our community and even of our world. Lord, we also thank you for giving us this quiet comfort assurance that your Spirit is there with us every step of the way. And Lord, finally, we acknowledge that you have called us to be a part of your mission. And so today we pray that as a church we would be motivated and bold and courageous and ready to share what it means to serve a mighty God. That we would not cower inside these church walls, but that we would go out from this place and let the world know that we serve a Savior who has come to save us, a Savior who has come to teach us what it means to live in God's kingdom, a Savior who has shown us how much He loves us because of His death on the cross, a Savior who has shown us because of the empty tomb how we can have hope even over death. In this Advent season, as we anticipate the return of Christ, may we share these things boldly with our communities. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.